Peter and I looking now forward to answering your question. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. And we will now take our first question from Lucy Carrier from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen, and congratulations on a great quarter. I will have a couple of questions. I will start, first of all, with Swisslog. I was wondering if you could kind of provide us a bit more granularity on how the warehouse and the healthcare business have developed and whether you are seeing already the synergies you were expecting from this acquisition, i.e. in the sense of offering a more integrated automation solution to your clients. That was question number one. The second question was on the margin at Swisslog. It's about 2% excluding the PPA, but is there also in this 2%, does that include restructuring costs, or is the 2% we are seeing really the underlying profitability? And then just last question, more at the group level, the book-to-bill in the first quarter is at roughly 1x. This is significantly lower than what you normally have in the first quarter of the year. So did we have an exceptional sales conversion in the first quarter? How should we think about the book-to-bill kind of evolution throughout the rest of the year?
Okay. Look, let me start with the Swisslog, the two Swisslog questions. Clearly, we have seen we are now getting to work much closer. We have something like 96-97% on Swisslog in Kuka hands, and we work close with the management, and we also have started the project Matterhorn to work closer on the sales, on the revenue synergies, and also on the technology synergies. What we have seen that Swisslog is compared to last year making progress on profitability, and maybe answering your question two first, the 2% or the 2.5% the percentage of Swisslog in the first quarter is including or does include the restructuring cost, the 7 to 9 million which we have planned for the full year. So the 2.3% is including restructuring costs but not PPA. For the full year, clearly, what we see, and that's what we will tell you in the course of the year, be giving you more information, we have the two divisions, healthcare had a better quarter in the first quarter, and we see that the automation in the hospital and healthcare business is making more progress. We have seen that in the U.S., where some impact by regulation is getting better in 2015. So in healthcare, we, as indicated, we have a growth in order intake, and also we see that profitability is stable. On warehouse distribution, we had in the first quarter compared to last year, we were missing a big, not missing this year, but we had a big contract last year. So, but all in all, we expect also in Swisslog in the second and third quarter higher order intake, because we see a different seasonality also on order intake compared to Kuka, which is strong in the first quarter. We see that Swisslog will be stronger in the second and third quarter by order intake. We will tell you more in the course of our integration project. We have started Project Matterhorn with teams, internal teams working on getting Swisslog from 550 to 1 billion in the next year, and also to increase profitability. The 2.5% or 2.3% is not what we want to reach. Mm-hmm. Clearly, we expect short term something in the region of 5% and longer term something in the region of 7% for Swisslog, and we are confident that we're going to reach this. On the book to bill, Peter will give you some indications.
Yeah, book to bill, we expect that the book to bill for the full year will be above 1.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Sebastian Crow from Commerzbank. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my question, Sebastian Crow from Commerzbank, and also from my side, congratulations on the good results. Firstly, one quick question on systems. Can you just give us an idea on the sales and EBIT contribution from RISE in the Q1? And secondly, a question on the order side. can just comment on the margin quality on new order wins on robotics compared to the previous framework contracts, and also give us an idea in index terms or whatever you think is appropriate here regarding the margins at systems on the new order wins that you have taken in. And then related to Lucy's question before on the overall outlook, can you just give us an idea when you say book-to-bill greater than one, someone, what we are talking about in terms of organic growth here for robotics and systems in particular? And last but not least, on the working capital side, from your comments on the cash flow development in the first quarter, it seems to me that obviously the working capital was inflated by about 25, 30 million euros in the first quarter due to the project at Swiss Lock. Where would you see really a sustainable working capital level going forward, and potentially also related to that, then where would you see, for example, a working capital ratio on a more sustainable level? Yeah, thank you very much. These are the questions.
Yeah, then I would start with RISE. We were significantly better than last year at RISE, operationally positive. We had a one-off effect in January, but operationally we are fine and positive. The turnaround we already had in Q3 last year. Sales were above 20 million.
And when you say a one-off impact, can you quantify that? And then where you simply ended on the EBIT side, was it more break-even result, or what should we think about the Q1 RISE result?
It was much better than last year.
Okay, I'll take it from there.
On the order, on the margin quality of systems, you know, I think as mentioned, we see that in general the American U.S. market is very strong, so we see good margin quality. We see better margin quality in the U.S. compared to Europe. Also by ways of capital utilization, we have full utilization in the U.S., and we see that in second and third quarter, the market will be not as bullish in Europe than in the Americas, but all in all, we give the guidance for the full year of 5.5 to 6%. Also means that our order backlog is has at least corresponding margin.
Then working capital. In Swisslog we had due to their seasonality, an increase of working capital around 30 million in quarter one, which then was a negative contribution to the cash flow, to the free cash flow. It was 26 million without Swisslog, and that was 4 million more than first quarter last year. In general, our working capital was negative for the first quarter, and that is what we are aiming at for the full year.
Okay, so an underlying working capital of around 300 million is something which you would regard as kind of a healthy level.
Sorry, I didn't get it.
An underlying working capital, so taking the 337 you reported and deducting the 30 million due to the Swisslog inflation, let's call it this way, would give you about 300 million. So this is what you would see as kind of a sustainable level then?
That is then capital employed, what you are talking about?
No, I'm talking about the working capital.
Then you have another definition. Our definition is ending up with a negative working capital. That is the inventories, the trade receivables, and the payables.
No, I'm looking at the trade working capital, so you find it on page 12.
Yeah. Then it's in our quarterly report. Yeah, then I'm with you. 300.
Okay.
Yeah. That's another definition. The trade working capital,
All right.
Okay. Further questions?
We will now take the next question from James Settler from Barclays. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. It's actually Rizk here from Barclays. I have three questions. So first of all, on the charge for the new product, PLM, can you just give us the number there in Q1 and what should we expect for the rest of the year? That was question one. Question two, on the guidance given today's strong results, this one looks a bit conservative. Yeah, hello, do you hear me? Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Then I answer your PLM question.
Yep.
That was a low one, a single-digit million figure in the first quarter. We expect even more in the second half of the year when we have the especially for PLM and our ERP project. In the ERP project, that were mainly internal costs in quarter one, setting up the teams, selecting advisors, contracting them, and kicking off the team. We are fully up and running with the second project, this ERP project, in quarter two and then in the second half of the year. For both projects, we expect an amount between 10 and 15 million for the full year.
Good. Thanks. And then on the guidance given today's results, it looks a bit conservative. What kind of seasonality should we expect in the next coming quarters?
You know, I think you're right that, as mentioned, Peter and I, we are highly confident to reach our guidance for 2015. As mentioned, that we see in robotics that we have stronger R&D expenditure. We're going to invest more in R&D. We are going to invest more in China. So also on the margin side, we expect that the first half of the year on robotics with 11 will be on the higher end, so investing more in the course of the year. And also on the system side, we see that Americas is very, very strong. Also here investing in China, and we have to follow up on the developments in Europe. And therefore, all in all, you know, we are early in the year. It's only May, beginning of May. We had a great start in 2015, and I think today we are very confident to reach what we are promising, and we'll think about on the Q2 numbers what to guide and how to guide, maybe a little bit more bullish.
Okay, thanks. And then finally on R&D expenses, you've posted 21 million in Q1. That's up from 15 million last year. What should we expect for the next quarters, roughly?
Oh, I would expect something around 90 for the full year.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Karsten Kunold from Otto Seidler. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. I actually have two questions. First is the demand from general industry in robotics was quite strong in the first quarter. Could you shed maybe a bit more light on that? Was there a main order included? Do you think that level is sustainable also for the following quarters? And from which industries is that strong demand actually coming? And the second question would be maybe you could quantify the impact from the exchange rate development on sales and the order intake.
Yeah, in general industry, you're right. We had strong order intake. There were not very big single orders included. A lot of mid-size orders we got. That was a lot of... We sold Agilus very much in the first quarter and are very positive that we will sell more than 2,000 Agilus this year. And we see that our strategy in GI begins to work. There were machine automation and GR tier one metal arc welding. There were some nice new order lots. FX impact was the second question you had. It was in revenue something around 20 million, a little more than 20 million.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Hermann Wright from BHF Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Well, thank you. But all my questions have already been questioned. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We will now take our next question from Sebastian Ubert from Societe Generale. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. One question from my side, Sebastian from SocGen in Frankfurt. Regarding Swiss Log, we have seen that in Swiss francs, the order intake was down about 21%, and not the number you have stated. How do you see in local currencies the order intake for Swiss Log going forward in 2015? And also it was cited that there was a large order received in Q1 14. How lumpy is this business of the warehouse and distribution solutions really? And maybe you can give us kind of a feeling what we could expect in terms of big ticket orders in the pipeline there. Thank you.
You know, just for the full year, we were on something like 570 for the full year. We see that Swisslog has a different seasonality compared to our Kuka automotive business and also the GI business, which is much more has less seasonality. The GI business, automotive, stronger in the first half, so it's just a different seasonality. We expect further order intake in the second and third quarter, and they are fully in line with the plan and fully in line with the budget. So it's nothing unexpected. There was this big order last year with one big contract, which is also typical for logistics, that you have big single orders, and therefore we are here full in plan with Swisslog integration, and there are no surprises.
And regarding your FX part of the question, the revenue in if you compare it to the prior year FX level, thinking in Swiss franc, it was a 4.9% difference between local currency and the impact of the Swiss franc. But if we then consolidate Swisslog into our KUKA group and then show the revenue in euro terms, then that is netted out again.
Okay, and then maybe one follow-up question with regards to the 7 to 9 million integration costs, both in your accounting as well as in the Swisslog press release from yesterday. It was stated about this 2.1-2.2% EBIT margin. Can you give us an idea in which of the two divisions or on the group level where these 7 to 9 million have been run through?
They are spread into the divisions. Some of the costs will occur in the holding and some at the KUKA side. It are different costs, for example, bringing the IT systems together or doing squeeze out, having some advisors for this process. Yeah, and therefore, the costs are distributed among all these areas.
Excellent. Thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And we will now take our next question from Christian Korf from Warburg Research. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thanks for taking my question. Maybe coming back to the FX impact, you mentioned 20 million overall. Can you maybe provide us with some precise figures for order intake and sales, each for the robotics and systems division? Secondly, can you maybe give us an idea regarding your prospective CapEx spending for KUKA Group in 2015? And an additional question regarding China. China was very strong in 2014. Now we read in the papers that that the economic growth momentum is coming down a bit. Do you share these concerns? How is your Chinese business doing? And what about your plans to expand your factory or to build a second site in China?
Yeah, FX we give only on the group level, and in order intake it was around 30 million, and for revenue what I mentioned, a little above 20. And CapEx for the full year was the second question you had. We expect something around 130 million.
130 million for the group.
Yeah. Yeah.
In China, we expect further strong growth. China is the biggest robotic market, and we see a huge automation potential in China, which is a different way of automation than what we see today in Europe. So if you look at where KUKA is today, on the one hand, we talk about this Industry 4.0, the Internet of Things in U.S. and Europe, where you integrate big data in the processes of software and process in the automotive and other industries. In China, we see a high demand of more like structural changes, that you have big factories which are still manually, which are going to be automated. And China is the biggest market, and we see also looking at the discussion where you have growth of 6 to 7% for whole China, but we see much greater demand for the robotic and automation industry. Therefore, we are very, very, we will grow in China on higher level than what is discussed currently on the how called general level. But China is, we will see big industry changes here. So we see clearly that arc welding and all this heavy industry is further automated. We see that the 3C market, which is not only China but also Taiwan and Korea, where we see further big potential for KUKA. So overall, we for China and Asia, we are very bullish, and we're going to further increase our market share and further penetrate the market in China.
Okay, thank you.
And we will now take our next question from Harald Remmert from LBBW Frankfurt. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. Just two quick questions. First, regarding your tax rate, we saw a normal tax rate of 38% in Q1. Is this a sustainable level also for the whole year, despite these huge PPA effects? And the second question regarding the acquisition of Swisslog, the U.S. company Forte. Could you give us the size of the company, profitability, and is this already included in your guidance for Swisslog?
Then I do the first part, tax rate 38%. Yeah, you can calculate with that for the full year.
On the Ford acquisition, it's a small acquisition, therefore we didn't have a big announcement on this. Forte is focusing on light goods. It means that we want to push more in e-commerce. Swisslog is more, in the past, more focusing on the pallet size. So clearly it's on the one hand strengthening the market in the U.S., and secondly, it is clearly helping us on also getting a bigger footprint on the e-commerce side. The acquisition was in the range of between 10 and 15 million. The revenue turnover which is coming on top is 20 million, and profitability is going in the same direction that we are going to 5 and 7% in the long run. And it is a solid business case which helps us to move Swisslog in the future.
But these figures are not included in your guidance for Swisslog currently.
You know, we don't have it. The turnover is around 20 million, so there's no reason for us to. You know, it's still the 2.8 overall, and the 5.5 are the numbers which are currently our guidance. You know, we have to really look into it deeper in the second quarter, but today this is our guidance, and Forte will support the business case, the longer term business case of Swisslog, and we benefit in e-commerce. And you know, clearly it's the impact is below 1%, so it's no reason because of Forte to increase any guidance.
Not for the group as a whole, but for Swisslog, I thought. But okay, you're right, it's not this size. Thank you.
Yeah. As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Peter Rothenreicher from Baden Bank Munich. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hello, gentlemen. One question regarding your LBR EVA. How do you progress here in coming deeper into the market and generating more sales? The next question on mobile robotics. When do you expect here to generate significant sales? Can we expect it for 2017, 2018 or so? And what are here your potential targets? Then on robotics and the Japanese yen topic, Why do you see here the bigger effects in the second half of the year? Because meanwhile, we see again the Japanese yen stronger, and which margin impact do you then expect here for the second half of the year? And last question regarding further acquisitions, in which segments do you target further acquisitions? Is it more on the logistics side, so an addition to Swisslog, or can we also expect something like RISE more on the robotics side?
Lots of questions, very broad question, which, you know, we would need maybe one day to answer. Let me start with the LBR IVA. I think what you could see at the Hannover Fair that with the collaborative robots and the man-machine interaction, KUKA is first, KUKA was first, and now others are following. So LBR IVA is clearly an innovation product. This year we are planning to have something around 500 LBR IVAs. It will be not a mass product like a Quantec or an Agilus, but clearly we have a target of something around 400 to 500. What you could see that really the discussion we have with our customers is based on this man-machine interaction, and also if you think about demographic changes and the ergonomic working places, it's really a big chance to think about new ways of automation, and it's only allowed because we do have the IVA and we do have the technology of IVA. With IVA we also introduced our Sunrise platform. Sunrise is not only for IVA but also longer term will be the basis of our next control generation, and therefore you have to see IVA more as an innovation push. Clearly we're looking at the numbers of IVA, but it's more like the whole sentiment and the whole idea of collaboration and Industry 4.0. On the mobile robotics, very proud of that we have shown the combination of intelligent robots and intelligent logistics at Hannover Fair. If you could see today, the logistics piece is not really deeply automated, and we believe that we can combine one goods to person with this mobile rack, and then the packaging of the goods on this packing station, and that's something where I think we are well ahead of lots of competitors, which are either only robots or only logistics, and we see here big companies, as you see Alibaba, as you see Amazon, as you see Zalando, which are still not automated, and we see here huge, huge potential, and I clearly see similar to the human machine interaction also on the mobile robotics, on the combination of logistics and manipulation, KUKA is really one of the front runners and one of the innovation drivers. So this is coming in the next years. Clearly, we show some ways in 15, but the business will come on mobile robotics in 16 and 17. The effect of Japanese, clearly I was mentioning that we have not only frame contracts from 15, but also frame contracts from last year. And we had seen the stronger impact from the yen last year, and the frame contracts are going now. Now you're getting the order intake based on the frame contract, and therefore we'll see some yen effect in the second half of the year. However, as you mentioned rightly, the euro is also today in favor of us because the weaker euro helps us in exporting more robots. Acquisition, it's our task not only to run the business operationally but also to look at acquisitions, and acquisition should help us on pushing more GI market and also in pushing technology, and we are clearly have always some companies on the radar which we look at, but it's nothing where we can report or comment on. It's clearly part of our daily work to look at acquisitions which either help us regionally or help us product-wise or technology-wise to further push KUKA for profitable growth.
Okay, thank you.
If there are no further questions, I would now like to turn the call back to the speaker for any additional or closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you very much for your time, and yeah, we wish you an orange bright day.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.